You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oh, national panel. I didn't see you guys here. So. You feeling the draft?
Hi.
Oh, let's go! Yeah. Draft day! One time!
Oh, yeah. Hear that music?
And
here we go.
What to believe with Aaron Rodgers and the Packers? Let's go!
Uh-oh.
Too much info.
There's just too much right now. Too much with the draft and Rodgers.
There's a lot of extra cheese being consumed.
Let's start with Rodgers. It's news of the day, and it's from Adam Schefter. Tweet! Reigning MVP Aaron Rodgers is so disgruntled with the Green Bay Packers that he has told some within the organization that he does not want to return to the team. League and team sources tell ESPN Thursday. For this to happen the afternoon of the NFL draft just blows your mind, because now this puts so much at play right now. Can Green Bay ostensibly trade Aaron Rodgers now for anything? A number one, number two, number three, number four pick. George Sedano, what's your reaction to this?
Aaron Rodgers, come on down. You're the next contestant. Oh, sorry, wrong game show. You do Jeopardy. But here's what I think about this. If I'm Aaron Rodgers, I'm over the Packers for a number of reasons, okay? They have not put around the weapons around him that have been necessary for him to win a championship. They drafted Jordan Love last year. We discussed that ad nauseum. Here's the other part of the equation. Unlike other teams in the NFL, they don't have a traditional owner. So the coach reports to the GM, GM to the CEO, the CEO to a 7-person board, and that 7-person board to a 43-person committee just to make a decision. That is not what you want if you're Aaron Rodgers, because you need to be nimble in the NFL. Hence, a lot of teams right now are going to try to be nimble to try to get Aaron Rodgers. I know that the Packers don't seem interested in trading him, reality, but if you're the Niners who have called, hell, The Rams called back in January before they got Matt Stafford. This is going to be utter chaos tonight.
If you're the Niners, and the report today was that they made a call a few days ago, but now that the Rodgers news is out, do you make that call again? Do you make that trade number three for Aaron Rodgers right now, George?
100%. I'll do it every time. Like, we can do this as a simulation, and every simulation in life, okay, I would do this 100% of the time.
How about you, Tim Kalisha?
Number one Jaguars and number two Jets, I don't even think about it. Your team isn't good enough. You're just going to get Aaron Rodgers beat up and have a $40 million quarterback. Number three, as Mr. Sedano said, yes, San Francisco is a year and a half removed from playing in a Super Bowl. They lost all their players last year to injury. They're all coming back. They're thinking about Mac Jones or Trey Lance and what he might do for this team. You throw Aaron Rodgers in with those running backs and receivers and Kittle and all the rest. This changes everything for tonight. It does feel a little calculated on the part of Aaron Rodgers as you're going to draft Jordan Love last year. I've got something for you on draft day this year.
Okay. Do you believe in the end the Packers can make a move like this in 12 hours?
I do not. No. I don't think they would. I mean, they have to be talking about it, and they got to be thinking about it, but I don't think they would know. I don't think they're ready to pull it off.
Justin Tinsley, where are you on this news from Aaron Rodgers that he doesn't see himself returning?
The writing just feels like it's been on the wall for a while now. He didn't like McCarthy. The whole relationship with Matt Flynn, we don't really know about. Obviously, the postseason failures in the past couple of years. It just feels like we've been building for this for a while. Now, of course, this isn't NBA levels of offseason hysteria, but I'm liking this energy from the NFL right now. I want all the trade offers and all the trade demands. And if you're Green Bay, you're never going to get more back for him than tonight, because people won't make a panic trade.
That's the interesting part there, right? So let's talk through this. You're Jacksonville number one. You're not trading the number one pick for Aaron Rodgers when you know you have Trevor Lawrence. I'm asking you, Justin. You're not, right?
No, I'm not.
And number
doing that,
two,
no.
The New York Jets, Zach Wilson. Now, this is a little bit more intriguing. Would you trade that pick for Trevor Lawrence, Justin?
No, just because it's the Jets.
Okay,
and
so that
if I'm Aaron Rodgers, I don't want to go to the Jets.
Okay, and number three, San Francisco?
Nah.
That's
yes,
the deal
San
you
Francisco,
make.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, San Francisco, I would do it, and Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Because if I have a chance to play with Julio Jones, then yes, I would.
Okay, Jackie McMullen, I'll bring you in here now.
And here's the other thing you have to remember. If you're going to trade Aaron Rodgers, which I truly believe the Green Bay Packers will not do, Tony. Okay. And I don't think it's 12 hours for them to decide, because I just have an inkling that we're just finding this out. But my guess is the Packers have known this a little longer than us. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's start with that as a premise. They've had some time to think about this, and it probably explains why San Francisco made that call that was reported, because everybody within the NFL knows this, okay? But if you are San Francisco, and you can get Aaron Rodgers, you have to get him. And you know what else that means? You then can trade Jimmy Garoppolo to get some additional pieces to build your team around Aaron Rodgers, because you will no longer need him. I think this is a great situation.
You brought up for San Francisco at number three. How about, okay, well, maybe that's not going to play out for them. How about your New England Patriots? All right, let's talk about the draft, the year of the quarterback year. Will five go in the top 10? Will New England move up, Jackie McMullen? These are all questions you can answer here. Right. And Aaron Rodgers being in play just adds more chaos to it all. But go ahead, Jack.
It does. And I do think it makes sense for the New England Patriots to trade up for a quarterback. But know this, Belichick, as coach, has never drafted a quarterback in the first round, and rarely trades up, usually trades down, but never, ever spends $165 million, which is what they did on the offseason. I think there's some urgency there for them to do something. How does Rodgers affect this? I'm not sure. But, you know, Todd McShay had Mac Jones dropping to the Patriots all the way to 15, Tony. That boggles my mind. It feels to me if the Patriots wants one of those top quarterbacks, they're going to have to trade up at least a little bit.
The chaos versus order argument, Justin Tinsley, just got thrown on its head by this news from Aaron Rodgers. But while you're watching tonight and you think, okay, could five quarterbacks be taken in the top 10? Is this the year of the receiver? Should the Bears, another team, we know we talked about the Patriots, should the Bears be in this conversation to move up for a quarterback? Where are your interests right now, Tinsley?
I would really like to see what Washington is going to do. We talk about quarterbacks. We talk about quarterbacks that are available in the draft, and now Aaron Rodgers, that just adds another element to surprise for all of this. If you're Washington, Tyler Heinicke is not your quarterback for the future, and I would suspect that they would try to trade up and get one of these five guys, and Aaron Rodgers being the grand slam of them all, of course.
Kalishaw.
You know, I think even if without Aaron Rodgers in play, I thought a couple of quarterbacks are likely to slide after the third spot. Certainly will if Atlanta doesn't take one, if they go with Kyle Pitts. So I thought New England already was in pretty good position to stay where they are at 15 or maybe only have to move up one or two spots at the most to get a young quarterback. And if the Rodgers thing is kind of added to the mix, then I really don't think Belichick has to do anything to get one of the quarterbacks.
And Sedano.
Tony, follow the money. I think that you're definitely getting four quarterbacks in the top 10. You could get that fifth. Mm-hmm. Look, traditionally one has slipped down past the top 10, but we're in a different era now where teams realize that if the quarterback's on the rookie contract, you can build the rest of the team around them. So they want to fast track things as much as they can. So I think the quarterbacks are going to be something we have to watch, and I do think it is absolutely a possibility that you can get five in that
Jackie,
top
10. Jackie, you wanted to add something?
Well, the only thing I would say is let's just play this little fantasy game that we're playing and that San Francisco actually has a chance to grab Aaron Rodgers. We already know the Patriots love Jimmy Garoppolo and have a history with him. So maybe you trade Jimmy Garoppolo to New England and then they don't have to worry about the rest
of the season. Well, that could happen with Aaron Rodgers or not if they're drafting
That's
a
right.
quarterback at
they
number
could.
Three. Okay.
100%.
As we go deeper into this draft, we'll start at the top. The team drafting number one. Here's the quote. We can't screw this up. That's Urban Meyer talking about the Jaguars. He's talking about drafting Lawrence at number one, but he's also talking about five picks in the first 65 that they can't screw up this draft. Tim, how much pressure is on the Jags tonight to get this right, or could they screw it up?
It depends on if that quote means we can't, parentheses, afford to screw it up, or parentheses, even, we can't afford to screw this up. But I don't think they'll screw it up, and I think their division has really softened. If you look at Houston and Indianapolis trying to go with Wentz now, Tennessee's got a bad defense they're trying to fix. I think Jacksonville can make good picks, and Meyer knows the college players, and they can be a factor pretty quickly.
Justin Tinsley?
Yeah, as Tim once said, as Tim just said, they can turn this thing around really quickly if they don't screw this up. And that's the edited version of that quote. Trust me, behind closed doors, Urban Meyer saying something totally different. And Urban Meyer needs to get this draft correct for a lot of reasons. One, for a football perspective. And two, he needs to erase the stain that was the Chris Doyle hire and fire earlier this season that honestly earned him a lot of well-deserved side eyes for that hire. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. Jackie McMullen?
Yeah, I think in Urban Meyer speak, what he's really saying is we're not going to screw this up. At least it feels that way. First of all, Trevor Lawrence is about as sure thing as you can have in this draft. He's been the number one pick, I feel, since like the last year and a half. Yeah. So if for some reason he didn't pan out, how could we blame Urban Meyer for that? Because all the rest of us have pretty much decided he'd be there too. Mm-hmm. And then when you're going forward talking about the rest of the pieces for that team, some of the pieces he needs, which is pretty much everything, offensive tackles, defensive linemen, some of those names aren't as sexy. There isn't as much attention around that. So I think you can get by without people. You have to wait and see.
And George?
People are going to make their judgments.
Tony, who would have thought we'd be in a world where we're talking about the Jaguars, how they couldn't screw it up, but the Packers all of a sudden can screw things up here today for everybody. But here's the deal. I think this is more of an indictment on Urban Meyer because, look, yes, we all know Jimmy Johnson went from the Miami Hurricanes to the Dallas Cowboys and won a couple of Super Bowls. Heck, he even got Barry Switzer a Super Bowl while he was there. But there are a lot more examples of Steve Spurrier's failing in the NFL than succeeding like Jimmy Johnson. So I think if you're Urban Meyer, you got to nail it because this is about you and your own legacy, and you have a lot of people already doubting that you can pull this off.
All right, two more questions. Rapid fire, and that's our horn right there. I always like asking a question that doesn't have an answer. I'll ask you that in a second. But I know we talked about this is the year of the quarterback, and we said five maybe in the top 10. Other than quarterbacks, what's the storyline we're going to be walking away from tonight's draft with tomorrow? George Zedano?
That Kyle Pitts is going to end up being one of the biggest impact players we've seen on offense in many years.
Tim Kalisha?
Where did those three receivers from LSU and Alabama wind up?
Justin Tinsley?
What in the world are Jerry Jones and the Cowboys going to do?
Jackie Mack.
Lavonta Smith. We used to talk all about him. I haven't heard him mentioned in weeks. Why is that?
And last question. No answer today or tomorrow. Probably not for 10 years. But once more into the breach we go. Who is the best player in this draft? Did you just tip your hand to Dano? You say it's Kyle Pitts, no matter what.
I'll go with Kyle.
Kalisha?
A guy named Trevor Lawrence.
Justin Sinsley?
Kyle Pitts.
Jackie McMullen?
It's the Pitts,
okay,
man.
So no Penei Sewell? No, nobody Patrick Surtain Jr.?
Good choice.
All right, we'll be back. Fire cell next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Are the New York Mets wasting peak prime Jacob deGrom, the 33rd career start? He's gone 6-plus with one run or fewer, pitching a shutout, and not one. That's not one more than anyone else. That's not two more than. That's eight more than everybody else in the major leagues. He tied Nolan Ryan last night for most strikeouts ever through five starts. His ERA and WHIP are 0.5, and he's 2-2 on the year. Also with the Mets last night, Francisco Lindor was booed by the home fans. He said, "It's interesting, it's funny, It sucks. Jackie Mack, what you buying, what you selling from the Mets?
I'm selling the fans booing Lindor. Give him some time. He'll round into shape. If he was in Cleveland where he was before, they wouldn't boo him. But DeGrom, my goodness, you ask if they are wasting him. Since 2018, Tony, a 1.99 ERA. Do you know what the Mets' record is during that time? It's 38-43. Come on, people. Find some run support for this really amazing pitcher.
Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, everybody gets booed in New York. It's like a rite of passage. But I have some more DeGrom stats. He struck out 48% of the batters he's faced this season. And he has as many earned runs as he has RBIs with two. Yes, they're wasting the generational talent right now.
What is that, Tim Kalish? I think we've seen this before when teams have, they know their ace is on the mound. They don't, you know, they get pumped up for that. They don't need to provide too much run support and they give you none.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the cliche that happens, yeah. but as the numbers show, this happens to him 8 more times than everybody else. It's crazy. He's done things that only Nolan Ryan and Randy Johnson ever did. Team's not taking advantage of it.
George Sedano.
Tony, I think we're all in agreement. We're all buying DeGrom. By the way, starting pitchers against him this season, only a 1.57 ERA so far this year, which doesn't help his cause, certainly. But as far as Lindor is concerned, I'm selling. Mets fans, how about you look up baseballreference.com? He's a notorious slow starter. 220 last year, 240 the year before. Career just about 250. He'll heat up. He'll be fine. Mm-hmm.
Buy or sell two, Bryce Harper is okay, which is incredible news. It's also what people like myself say when we're not the ones hit in the face by a 96.9-mile-per-hour fastball. Genesis Cabrera hits Harper and then hit Didi Gregorius in the ribs the next pitch. George, we know there's a 3-batter minimum, but should there be an addendum for someone who's hit two guys like that? Do they have to be taken out?
Yeah, Tony, I would buy a rule change like that for sure. I don't think there's any question. But I do want to say that you could clearly see, based off his reaction, that those two pitches got away from him. There wasn't malice behind those pitches. And I know that, look, it's his job to have control, but I don't think, again, that there was real intent towards hitting those
Tim
guys.
Galisha?
I don't think intent should have much to do with it. Harper and Didi aren't in the Nationals or in the Phillies lineup today, so that's not a good thing. I wouldn't do it with a starting pitcher in the second inning if he does it, but a relief pitcher hits a couple guys in a row, I'd get him out
Justin.
Of there. By the umpire, I mean.
Yeah, I'd definitely toss him, and not because I thought it was intentional, but because those were his only two pitches of the game. You hit a guy in the face, and then you hit a guy in the ribs. He should have been tossed just for everybody's safety.
Jackie McMahon.
In fact, in this case, you might have been doing him a favor if you tossed him. He might have preferred that. You know, I don't know how we would have been looking at this today if Bryce Harper was seriously injured, for instance. Maybe we'd have a completely different look at it today. I really feel for this young pitcher. I don't think he meant to do it, and he's boxed in by this rule that all of a sudden, to me, doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense, quite frankly.
Buy or sell three, how the Nuggets beat the Pelicans last night. This is the game. Zion here for the game-tying go-to-overtime dunk. In the final second, Jokic blocks him. That's how it looked in real time. Here's how it looks in replay. Did Jokic hit the hand? Zion said after the game, he has to earn the respect to get that call. Tim, how do you see it?
I like Zion's reaction to it, and I really don't blame the officials because in real time, when you're looking at it fast, he doesn't hit him in the head, and he gets a lot of the basketball. Now, he gets him on the hand, too, but they're not calling that a lot in the last 2 seconds.
George Sedano?
I'm buying Stan Van Gundy politicking for his guy because he was right. And by the way, I disagree with you, Kalishaw. If you look at the guy on the sideline where the scorer's table is, he had a perfect angle of that replay we just saw, and he didn't call it. He swallowed his whistle. But I am buying Zion, showing the maturity he showed with the official.
That's 100% a foul for you, though, George.
100%.
How about you, Jackie?
Well, it's 100% a foul, but I'm not buying what George is saying, that you can't prove that referee swallowed his whistle. Maybe he didn't see it from the angle that you are saying he was on. We can't make a judgment. Well, you can't make a judgment on what these officials think. I will say this, I love everything about Zion. This makes me love him more. He's saying, I got to earn my respect, and by doing so, he's gaining some respect from the officials.
Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, I'm buying Zion's response, even though the referee under the basket didn't blow the whistle and he had a perfect view of it. But I'm also buying Jokic's reaction. The way he walked off, That was the look of a man who know he just got away with a foul.
That may be true. Jackie, you said you love everything about Zion's game, and there's, of course, everything you love. But there's one stat he's leading the NBA in.
I know.
That, you know what the stat
is. His shot getting blocked.
His shot getting blocked. Shot getting Doesn't that blow your mind? He's the most athletic guy in the game.
That is
incredible. He's in the league and having his shot
blocked.
No,
but he's venturing in among the Giants quite a bit.
Sedano, Kalashaw, shots blocked today among the Giants of Tinsley and McMullen. Showdown in 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Anthony Rizzo left first base to pitch last night because the Cubs were getting bombed again, and he struck out the reigning MVP, Freddie Freeman. Everybody was smiling after. Justin Tinsley, is this an everybody smiles situation, or should Freeman feel shame by being struck out by Rizzo?
Nah, not at all, man. You said it. You're the reigning MVP, and if I'm Rizzo, my pitching career is over. You can't get any higher after that. You struck your homeboy out on a 61-mile-an-hour
pitch. So you retire as a pitcher, okay. Jackie, how about you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love the dynamic to these two. I was surprised when he struck him out, he didn't yell, Frederick, like he did in that rundown that they had a couple of weeks ago. But if you're Freddie Freeman, you were 4-for-5 with a home run and 2 doubles in this game. You're fine. Your team won.
These guys appear to be great friends. But
I love it.
You know what? Rizzo, retire right now as a pitcher. That's a great way to go out. We'll move on. The play in Milwaukee yesterday. Can anybody explain what umpire Marty Foster saw here to call the play safe at first? Anybody? In a season of Conforto hit by a pitch to win a game, in a season of Angel Hernandez, what was this call, Jackie Max?
I did not like this call at all. It makes no sense. I've watched it 8 times. I will say this. Diaz wasn't exactly legging out that infield single. I would have felt a little better for him if he, you know, at least tried to get to first base.
This is the epitome of a Southwest Airlines want-to-get-away moment. This is the worst call of the season, and it's not even close.
Mm-hmm. I heard a little Dr. Seuss in your answer, Jackie. I did not like this call at all. I did not like this from baseball.
Like this
point
call
to Justin Tinsley, though. There we go. 30 seconds of face time.
37 years ago today, the Dallas Cowboys drafted Carl Lewis. And then a couple of months later, the Chicago Bulls, in the same draft when they got Michael Jordan, also drafted Carl Lewis. It's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, all-time did-you-know draft stories. So shout out to Carl Lewis, who never played in the NBA or NFL, but was drafted in both sports.
Okay, do we know that he ever lifted a basketball? Did he play basketball in high school? Because
I don't know, but I know he can't sing the national anthem, though.
And he can't throw a baseball. We know he's never lifted a baseball before, too. You ever seen his first pitch? Still one of the greatest athletes ever to walk the face of Earth. All right, thank you, Justin Tinsley. Sedano, Kalashaw, McMullen, I'll ask again. You guys feeling the draft? You feeling the draft? I've said that joke for 17 years. You haven't laughed once.